Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Before I get into the collector's stuff and what I read for the week, I want to thank everyone for all the feedback that I've gotten on the spotlights. I did one on Captain America, number one, Steve Rogers. Got a lot of feedback, a lot of ideas that people are thinking. I want to talk a little bit briefly about that. And then I want to talk about some feedback that I got from the DC Universe Rebirth, especially one particular letter that hit home. So I'll start off with that. I want to thank Donnie Salvo for this write-up because it kind of made my day. But he said, Mike Myers, your spotlight on this issue warmed my heart as an old-time fan of DC Comics. It was so much fun, this issue, that made me smile and, yes, even tear up. I haven't gotten this emotionally involved in a comic book since the first issue of Identity Crisis, and I just want to, before I continue, I just want to say, I think me and Donnie have a lot of very, very similar tastes, because I met him in Super Show way, way back when Comic Geek Speak had it, and he was doing a lot of stuff. He was selling his comics at that time to help out Jamie D, who has passed away, but Donnie's got a good heart and a soul. He's a fellow podcaster. He's a comedian. I love him to death. And like Identity Crisis, when you read that first issue, man, it is so emotional. Like, I think there's like one and issue five, and maybe there's two, but there's like three issues that just they break me down, and they break me down emotionally no matter when I read them. And to see Ralph Dibny's wife die, I mean, especially if you've been reading them forever, they're a couple that you know, totally loves each other more than anything in the entire world. And she was going to surprise him with the birthday gift that year. And he was out on patrol with Firehawk. And he's like, he was telling her, I always can predict, you know, that she's going to surprise me with X, Y, and Z. So I know she's going to surprise me with something. But when he arrives home, his wife is dead. She's been murdered. And the surprise she was going to tell him is that she was pregnant. And they hadn't had a kid. And, man, that just hits home. It's like, oh, my God. But that also, it made Donnie, and he mentioned it, Identity Crisis, and I'm like, man, that also, even now I start tearing up just thinking about it. I remember Rags Morales' pencils. I remember all the words that Brad Meltzer put on the page. There's so much depth and emotion in that series, and so much controversial stuff. It's probably my favorite event of all time. And this series reminded me so much of that. And then he said, he goes to say, like you, those scenes with Johnny Thunder really hit home for in both the legacy in the DC Universe and personally. He says, I had a grandmother who used to grab my arm and cry and ask me to get her out of the home too. And that really does something to you, man. I mean, it haunts you because, you know, I was in college when this happened to me, and getting ready to leave, and you want to do something about it, but you can't. I mean, there's nothing you can do, but, you know, sometimes your relatives, they just want to get out of the hospital and die peacefully in their own house, and you can't grant them that. But yeah, he had the same thing happen. Man, he's like a brother from another mother. So he says, your podcast made me smile and tear up at the same time. He says, I love your passion for the medium and the love for the characters. I truly believe, Mike, if anyone in the world should get paid to read and talk about comics, it's you. That hit an emotional level because that means that my words mean something to somebody. I mean, more than you could ask for, you know, you don't get paid to do this, but if it hits home with people, that's when it really pays off. And then he says, I really want to thank you for the podcast on this issue. I've listened to it twice and probably will one more time. Your love for not just comics but of life is infectious, and I think we could learn something from you, Mike. It takes a big man to wear his heart on his sleeve, and I respect you for that. Your show made my day and my life a little brighter. People may read this and say it was just a comic review, but it wasn't. You related it to the DC Universe and to your personal life and experiences, and then in turn to all our experiences. Thanks again, Mike, for doing what you do, and most importantly, for being who you are. So yeah, that was a good email. I had to read that. Thank you, Donnie. And it's strange that you mentioned like three things in that email that are very similar between the two of us, but I had to read that. The other thing I wanted to say is there's been a lot of talk about the particular comic that I reviewed, which was Rebirth, DC Universe Rebirth. And I posted this later on my Facebook page, but not all of you have access to my Facebook page. But it was an addendum I forgot to mention when I recorded this. But the scene also touched me in a certain way, because, and a lot of people didn't see that the way I did it. And there was other longtime readers like John Mayo who said it wasn't true. But as a longtime reader, I believe it's true. I think what Geoff Johns was doing was trying to link the lightning to the Speed Force, and that's how he went to seek out Johnny Thunder. At least that's what I like to believe. So I'll continue to believe it until I hear it from the source that that's not true. Harlequin! And my daughter Harley, she's playing with her toys. You be good, girl. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is Captain America. Got a lot of feedback on that. Oh, and I want to thank everybody for feedback that I got for DC Rebirth. It seemed to ignite a lot of emotion in a lot of people. And there's so many people that I have to thank. And I got IMs, I got tweets, I got emails, I got so much different feedback, and a lot of people had a lot of passion about the issue and a lot of questions, and it was exciting. And Cap was the opposite. A lot of people had negative feedback, but they had positive feedback for my podcast because they said I looked at it differently, and they agreed with what I was saying. But the one of the big things there is I went back and read some more Captain America, Sam Wilson, which is, you know, the Falcon is Cap. What a great series that is. So much passion for the Grenwald era. He's got Cap Wolf. he had the Serpent Society, which was a huge impact in those years. I mean, they were in there. Diamondback, he had D-Man back. He made the Serpent Society like in the 1%. I mean, they were a corporation that helped the 1%ers make money, and they would do all the dirty things behind the scene. And it really was a really, really good issue. And this was during the time he's Cap Wolf, and you have D-Man. just so much things that the era of Captain America, that 60 Cent era when Grenwald was on, it was like amazing for me. It was one of the Marvel comics that I was drawn to every issue, and it was like that soap opera where he has so many different threads and stuff. And it was great reading this stuff, but I want to point out in 7, there's so many clues in there that Red Skull is there. I mean, Nick Spencer could be pulling a fast one on us, but man, number 7's got a lot. And then if you read Welcome to Pleasant Hill, I kept on calling it Pleasantville, like the movie, but it was Pleasant Hill. I read that from beginning to end, and the one that really had some callbacks in it that hint towards the Red Skull is Uncanny Avengers, which is my favorite, which I didn't think it would be my favorite because Deadpool's like my least favorite character. But it was my favorite book. The one that I thought was going to be my favorite was All New, All Different Avengers, which is Mark Waid, which is usually, oh my God, this is probably the first Mark Waid book I read. And I was like, what is, you know, going on here? I mean, it wasn't bad. It just didn't have the depth or emotion or a plot that I was looking for. And it's since changed, like after issue 9 or 8, around there for me, where I'm starting to dig it a little bit more. And then there was New Avengers, which has Sunspot leading AIM. And you have Clint in there and Songbird and a lot of betrayals and Power Man, the other Power Man, not Luke Cage Power Man, but the other one that could... he gains power from history, which is really weird. And he was trained by Daniel Rand. He came around on the Shadowland time frame, so if you remember that Daredevil series. And there are several others. They had like this cool scene in that with the American Kaiju, which is Thunderbolt Ross released like a Godzilla-type dragon, which was, you know, paid tribute to like Godzilla, but it was he attacked AIM Island, and AIM Island had like their own Shogun Warrior. It was pretty badass. I dug the hell out of it. And Shogun Warrior was a comic book in Marvel I really dug at the time. I even had some of these metal... I never had those big ones. Like, sometimes I'll go to toy conventions here in the Springs where they have a lot of retro figures. Pretty beat up. But they had, like, these gigantic Shogun Warriors. Well, I had these, like, little metallic ones. And I still have one or two of them. And I did have a couple of Micronauts, too, but... all I have are pieces. It's weird because I was really good with keeping parts and pieces together, but I guess I didn't with the Micronauts. But anyway, they had like their own Shogun Warrior. It was a real cool scene, but all of these tied in, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I got caught up. I don't like the TV show at all. I try to get into it, and there's something I can't attach myself to those characters. But I really was surprised that I liked that comic. That's what these bundles are really good for, is they... yeah, you find some stuff you don't like, but there, you do find stuff that you probably wouldn't have tried like this, but I'm glad I tried it. But anyway, the Sam Rogers is by far, that's Sam Wilson, getting confused with Steve Rogers, gives a lot of interesting points into that... number 7 into that. Plus, Uncanny Avengers has a scene with Rogue in it where they talk about, yeah, the Red Skull has the Xavier brain again from that Axis. I think it was called Axis. It was the another event. Almost, I think it was after Fear Itself, but it was another event where it was a Red Skull centric. And he got the brain of Professor X. So he has, like, as he's recruiting these people, you know, Professor X could go in there and make you believe what you want to believe. He could change your past. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is true. I'm just throwing out ideas. But keep that in mind. And I want to thank you all for emails. I got some really long emails. And some people, let me see if I could dig that email up real quick. If I can't, I'll apologize now, but there was a really good email I had. Let me see. It's probably not going to be... I can't find it. Which is a bummer, but I know it's here somewhere. I mean, maybe if I search for Cap. Yeah, I do have this. It's from Kyle Poindexter. And, you know, he was talking about this, and he said that he saw a lot of clues. The ones that I didn't see, he wanted my thoughts on a possibility that I might not have picked up on, or other people might not have picked up on. is he says he's remembering one issue. He thought it was Sam Wilson, but if it did happen, it was one or two, because I read three and up and got caught up. It's been a long time since I read one or two, so I don't recall them. But we see Steve pull Sam off to the side and talk to him in private. Steve tells Sam that he has something big he's working on that's coming up. We don't see what the plan is, but we see Sam react, calling the plan crazy, but ultimately agreeing to help Steve should he need it. So that's also another hint that a listener of the show put out, and I want to thank him for that. But that's it, and I'm going to go into the stuff that I recorded a long time ago, which is the collector stuff, and then followed by the Mike's Weekly Reads. So thanks for the feedback. If you have any more, I'd be glad to discuss questions and stuff on the show, or any particular things you want answered. You could send to Twitter or at Mike Myers Brunch or Facebook. Join the Geek Brunch podcast group and post on the episode threads there. Or send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And if you get a chance and you're on iTunes, I know not all of you have iTunes, but if you could take the time and leave an iTunes review, I'd greatly appreciate it. Oh, one more shout out. I got a pretty in-depth email. Well, I am on Twitter from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit, and it was about the Rebirth issue, and he like tapped into some stuff that nobody else had tapped into about what I was going through emotionally. So he was reading a little bit more into it, and there is some truth to that. I am going through some stuff, but thanks Drew, and make sure you check out Comics for Fun and Profit. Also, my buddies at the Valiant Central podcast, Martin, thanks for shouting me out. Paul also on the Valiant Central podcast, when you talked about Rebirth, it was much appreciated, and you said some really kind words that I can't thank you enough for. So many other people I need to thank. Even just the other day, Daryl responded. He said that he was having a shitty day and he was listening to Retrocast, and it made his day. It's little things like that, little messages that you get from time to time from friends. And if I can make my brother happy and he's depressed, then I've done my job. If you could go through a day and make one person smile or feel good about themselves, you've succeeded in my book. So that's all the thank yous. I know I missed some people I still have to thank. I've got messages from Aaron Makeham and all kinds of other people. And I'm sorry if I missed you. Glenn Clark sent out a lot of stuff to me as well. So, yeah, it's hard to go through it without scrolling through 7 days or 8 days worth of posts. But thank you all for the feedback. And with that, without further ado, we'll start this episode. Thank you. Bye. Welcome to another back issue collector segment where I talk about some issues that I recently purchased. We'll jump right into some more Batman issues. This one is Batman 158, featuring Ace the Super Bad Hound. It has him shooting fire at Batman and Robin, who have like some kind of shields on them. And Robin is saying, "Great Scott, Bat Hound has acquired superpowers and he's using them against us." Also, Batman and Robin Imposters, The Secret of the Impossible Perils. Really nice, cool cover. And the next one we got is Batman 161. It's called Batmite the Hero. It's another Batmite issue. And it says here, Batmite saying, "How do you like my new hero, Batman? Thanks to my powers, he can take these crooks to police headquarters in style." And it's got a guy that has a red outfit, and he's got a Batmite on his chest. and he's riding a flying chariot and taking criminals to the prison, while Batman and Robin are on their whirlybirds, and Batman's thinking, uh-oh, Batmite has spoiled my plans. Now we got Batman 167. This one features like a sphinx, like a three-sphinxed head, shooting eye beams at Batman and Robin, and they look like they're in peril. And it says a book-length spy thriller, Zero Hero for Earth, and that's 167. We then get a giant size, 80-page giant for 176. So let me put that 170 in that we talked last episode. And this one is featuring some Golden Age greats. It's got the Batman crime clown steals the thunder of the Joker's utility belt. That's really cool because I know Chris Campbell was looking at buying the original issue. And then we got the Fox, the Shark, and the Vulture fighting Batman. And these guys are really interesting because they actually appeared in the animated Brave and the Bold. And then we got a Mr. Freeze story, a Catwoman story, and a Calendar Man story at that 80-page giant. We got Batman 208, which is a, I think it's the reprint of the first Poison Ivy. And a Batgirl story, and it says on the bottom, it says, is she Batgirl, Batwoman, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, Vicki Vale, or someone else? We got another giant 25-cent issue, 233. It's got four stories, The Crime of Bruce Wayne to be executed tonight, Robin's looking at a paper. All of these look familiar because they have the originals. One of them's the unmasking of Bruce Wayne. The other one is who is the other Bruce Wayne, and the murder of Bruce Wayne. That looks like an interesting one. We got Batman 245, and this is a 20-cent issue. This one's a good copy, but it's got an ugly book. You know, some of the bookstores used to stamp their address on there. And that's what it has. Batman is looking at a newspaper, and it says, Bruce Wayne murdered, politician accused. And Batman's saying, he's innocent, I killed Bruce Wayne, and I can't tell a soul. So it's like he killed himself to probably prevent somebody from finding out his identity. And we got Batman, another 100-page giant. This is 60 cents. It's 257. It's got a full-length Penguin thriller. Penguin saying, stay where you are, Batman, or the girl dies. Got a hunt for a Robin killer, and a Batman and Robin story, a Joker story, an Alfred adventure. And it says, wait till you meet me. Ali Babel's the name. So I don't know who Ali Babel is, but it's probably a Golden Age great. We got Batman 292. This is a Riddler cover. He's holding the cowl, and Riddler is saying, I plead guilty to the murder of Batman. I give you Exhibit A, what's left of him, the testimony of the Riddler. We have Batman 299. This has, looks like an Aztec woman, but it looks more like an American woman in an Aztec uniform. And has somebody there. It says, we've killed the Batman, his threat is over. And one of the guys is saying, look behind you, his ghost. Jim Aparo cover for sure. You can tell these ones, some of these are. We got Batman 301, and it has somebody, a woman holding a man, and Batman has a gun on the cover. Oh my God, he has a gun. And she's saying, you murdered my husband, Batman. Why? Why? It says the explosive story of the only man Batman ever killed. And that is it for the collector segment, and stay tuned for Mike's Weekly Reads. Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This one's going to be short and sweet. This one, this week that I recorded, or actually not recorded, but read these particular issues, I was actually on a business trip. So I took some Walking Dead hardcovers with me. really behind on them, even though I and I kind of like to compare and contrast. And in some episodes, some instances, I like the TV show more than the comic, and in some other issues, I like the comic more than the TV show. So it's a pretty interesting thing. But we'll jump right into this this week. It's a short and sweet. We had 33 comics. I read 24 Walking Dead issues. These issues that I'm reading, I don't have in singles. I have in hardcover, the 12 issue hardcover series. We got those were Image, so we had 24 Image. We had 1 DC, 5 Archie, and 3 451 Media. So we'll start at there were no 1 2s or 3s. There were just 4 and 5s. This is a good week for reading. We had Batman Dead on Arrival graphic novel. I chose this because of Bob Hall, and this was a Gotham by Geeks pick for me because I hadn't read it. And Bob Hall, I know really well from Shadow Man VH1 volume. And I wanted to read this. And this was really good. This is about like a Penguin, Two-Face, and Joker, while in prison, devise a plan to get a scientist to develop a virus to contaminate Batman, and it's a deadly virus where he'll deteriorate and die, and he has to save a little girl. The little girl part has nothing to do with the Penguin or any of those villains. It's just coincidental that this little girl is a senator's daughter, and she gets put up for ransom by this group, and it looks like they're going to kill her, and Batman has to try to save her before he dies. And this features Tim Drake, and he gets sicker and sicker. He even thinks Tim is Dick at some point. So really good series. I enjoyed it. 4 out of 5. Then we had from 451 Media, Sunflower number 2. This is about the mother who lost her husband and daughter, and she finds out that her daughter may be alive in this town where nobody can touch this wrist philanthropist. Kind of like Roadhouse, huh? But she goes back there and teams up with a cop, and she's trying to find out where her daughter is. Really enjoying that series. We had Walking Dead 49 through 72. That was good reading. That got me through Volume 6, I think. And now I'm in Volume 7. I can't remember. I might be a digit off. We had S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. This is from Archie Comics, the relaunch of the female S.H.I.E.L.D., which it looks like she is inheriting. She's either somebody who's reincarnated in a different body from generation to generation, or the spirit of the S.H.I.E.L.D. takes over bodies of new people. I haven't figured that out yet. But it's a really good series. This one, she doesn't remember who she is, but she's starting to get her memory back. Good Archie comic, good superhero comic. We have Self-Storage 2 through 3. This is the storage unit that has a female zombie in it, and that female zombie ends up biting the owner of the storage unit, not the one that won the storage unit, and all hell breaks loose, and there's two other guys that innocent families are starting to get affected. It's a really good series from 451 Media. Really well executed. We had Jughead number 1 and 2. This is a Jughead comic on the relaunch. Really good relaunch. There's a principal out to get Jughead. And Jughead seems like he's one of the more intelligent people in the Archie universe right now. And I'm really enjoying it. And then we had Archie 3 through 4, which is 5 out of 5. So the 5 out of 5s were Jughead 1 and 2 and Archie 3 out of 4. Really enjoying what they're doing with the relaunch. The Archie one described the lipstick incident finally, I think, in issue 4. And I really love it. I mean, it's good and it's heartfelt. It makes me love Betty, and I like that. And the thing that's really phenomenal about these books, at least in my opinion, there are other podcasters I heard that don't like it, but ever since Afterlife with Archie started, and some of the, you know, Sabrina and stuff, they ask the writer to pick old issues, like Golden Age issues. And Mark Waid really knocks it out of the park with picking a particular story that seems like he was inspired by for the current story. And I absolutely love reading these Golden Age stories. And one had like the first appearance of Veronica, and it was amazing. I almost think I like the Golden Age stories more than the real ones, but I don't know. They're both so, it's so well put together. It's a great book. So that will wrap up this week. I hope you enjoyed the quick episode, and you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. GeekBrunchPodcast.com. That hosts all the shows that I do on the Geek Brunch feed. And on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button and you can leave comments on every episode thread. Thank you for listening. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. Please leave feedback, questions, anything that I can address on the show for you. I'd be glad to do it. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.